great to join you today. This is Kristen Phillips Hill, and thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of Kristen's Corner, a podcast by your state senator. And I am so pleased to be joined by a good friend from the other side of the building and the other side of the state, Representative Eric Nelson, for today's program. Representative Nelson, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Senator. It's great to be here, and it's great to see you again because we had such a wonderful time serving together when you were in the House, and it's great to see you doing such wonderful things in the Senate.
Well, thank you. And can you share with our listeners, talk a little bit about the part of the state that you're from?
Well, I'm from Westmoreland County. So we're on the opposite side. Westmoreland County is a kind of a rural county right up next to Pittsburgh or Allegheny County. And I'm fortunate to be smack dab. Our farm's right in the middle of Westmoreland County in a city called Greensburg.
Well, I can only imagine it's a wonderful place to be. Last week, you are the sponsor of legislation that was heavily debated in the House of Representatives, House Bill 2044, and it deals with third-party election grants. And I'm sponsoring a similar piece of legislation in the Senate with Senator Lisa Baker. So what is your 30-second elevator pitch on the what, the why, the how of this very important piece of legislation?
It's great. The what, why, and how, I think, almost is summed up in the term Zuckerbucks. The what of the Zuckerbucks was $350 million nationally and $22 million invested through private contracts here in Pennsylvania. Half of that money was distributed before anyone even knew that those grants were going to be made available to voters, and they were only introduced in advance to democratically run counties.
So I watched the debate in the House. You refuted every claim that came your way. So let me break this down for our listeners. Again, as you said, Pennsylvania received $22 million from this third-party entity operated by Facebook's founder, Mark Zuckerberg. Roughly $18 million of the $22 million that Pennsylvania received flowed to Philadelphia and its collar counties. And we have many debates in the building over what taxpayers should or should not fund. I don't know if there's anyone who would say that our elections process is not a core function of government that should be funded by taxpayers.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the additional word there, whether we want to use the trendy term equity or we want to use the term equality, our election should be uniform. And what these private contracts did was target to hyper-extract votes from given areas in order to influence the outcome of elections. Our elections should be uniform, which means that a citizen in McKean County and a citizen in Philadelphia County should have the same voting experience. In Delaware, their private contract, and again, this was a private contract signed in advance with lawyers and attorneys through Zuckerberg and the Center for Civic Life, Technology and Civic Life, CTCL. Mobile vote collection vehicles driving around unchecked, unfettered, and not even able to have bipartisan watchers. By contract, Senator, by contract.
Just 2 months ago, the publication Broad and Liberty that's out of Philadelphia, they filed several right-to-know requests, and I think they uncovered even more. Again, counties were cherry-picked by officials in the Wolf administration and asked to selectively apply for these funds. So they reached out specifically to certain counties to give them this added advantage. And again, as you noted, our state constitution has a uniformity clause, whether it's McKean County or Philadelphia County. And it says specifically in the constitution that our elections, and I quote, shall be free and equal. So if one county is getting a substantial monetary advantage over another, How is that free and equal?
Well, I completely agree. And to even build on it, how is it that the opposite side of the aisle, and it was a heated floor debate, unbrazen and unapologetic in the fact that they did this and pulled this off to the point of a standing ovation to the minority whip when he said, it's okay for us to get this money, just Philadelphia, Delaware, Chester, Lehigh, Dauphin, Allegheny. He called them out by name and praised that those citizens received extra monies in order to make it easier to vote, and acknowledged that other counties, impoverished counties, poor counties, did not receive any of those dollars. Right now, unfortunately, we have a win-at-all-cost political environment, and they, despite the means, it's all about the ends. And it's a dangerous precedent.
Philadelphia nearly doubled their elections budget with these private dollars. Doubled.
Can you imagine? All the people in Philly, almost $9 extra dollars per voter came from Facebook so that they could hold over 15 early satellite stations and have people come register to vote and vote by mail at the same time, again, without having any checks and balances. We don't know who these people were or where they were. And yet again, that county was not able to or chose not to participate in an audit of accountability, both before the election and even now.
So my quick 30-second take on the issue, we saw with this massive infusion of cash that came into counties at the last minute, some counties afforded more funding than other counties. Some counties afforded no funding. We have a very transparent budgetary process that plays out at the state and local level to determine funding levels. This was not transparent.
And unfortunately, not only was it dark money, but dark money with clawback contracts, meaning that if the city of Philadelphia didn't spend over $2 million in those early voting satellite Dropbox stations, that Zuckerberg, Center for Technology and Civic Life, would pull the money back and take it back. So they actually, in multiple counties, those collar counties around Philadelphia, Allegheny, Dauphin, Lehigh, they dictated how that county ran its election. Imagine if it went the other way and there was an energy employer or a firearms group. The precedent of an individual private company getting a tax deduction to draw up contracts on how a county runs their elections, that is a very, very slippery slope.
Well, and your bill, it passed the House last week along party lines, and it left me wondering that very thing. If we swapped Mark Zuckerberg for a conservative-leaning financier, would the left be okay with that infusion? And I know that we're told in the House you never ask a question that you already know the answer to. I would have to believe that they would not. And look, this is not the first time that we have seen outside money come into what I will argue are core functions of state government. When he was in the middle of his campaign seeking the Democratic nomination for president, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and the Bloomberg Foundation embedded staff and money into the Pennsylvania Department of Drug and Alcohol Programs. So it left me in an appropriations hearing saying, you know, what access is that getting the foundation? Who has oversight? What strings are attached to the money? Who are these employees that have been embedded into the department accountable to, the taxpayers or the former mayor of New York City? And it raises a lot of questions. And it's something as precious as our elections process. I really don't care if you vote in your county or in your home county of Westmoreland, all votes and the processes should be the same.
Absolutely. And when we look, whether it's a county is treated the same, or we talk at the broad picture of the state, there also is a massive question. Nothing prohibits international interests from issuing grants and private contracts. It's currently not illegal, and that's why, you know, our version of House Bill 2044, it creates a barrier wall, both for international money and private companies that are here nationally, so that we don't have individuals buying out. Imagine if someone wants to put in a power plant, a nuclear plant, a wastewater treatment plant, or a garbage dump, and they can control how votes are collected within a county. So what a better way to do business than select your supervisors, get your zoning board on, and just for a few million dollars, you can have your way. It turns upside down representation and uniform equal access to votes.
Two bills sharing the same goal, your bill in the House and Senator Baker and my bill that we're sponsoring, that was recently referred to the Senate State Government Committee. I think it looks like this will be something that the Senate committee will take up in the new year. So do you have any parting words of wisdom to our listeners on this legislation?
The theme I've really embraced after these past elections is stay strong and stay informed. There is a concerted effort to try to shame, twist, and manipulate the truth. And the truth is that Facebook invested heavily in 5 swing states to hyper-extract and influence the outcome of election. Unprecedented. Whether you like it or not, if this is the path moving forward, it will change the trajectory of government. So I really appreciate your courage in standing firm on the fact that we have to keep our election system clean. And remember, this all comes on a backdrop that Governor Wolf vetoed an election reform bill which would have provided money for the counties on a regular basis. He vetoed a process that would have allowed for private grants to go to the state and then get equally distributed by census data. So if Facebook wants to give $20 million, then that $20 million would be uniformly distributed through the state. Governor Wolf vetoed that because he wants to keep it the same. And I just want to leave your listeners with a parting gift. If we don't advance these bills, what's going to happen behind the scenes for this next governor's race? It is really scary.
Well, that's why I think it's important that one of these bills finds its way to the governor's desk and we create the momentum to have it signed into law. And I often say in this building, it's amazing what you can get accomplished if you don't worry whose name is given the credit. And I will tell you, I will be just as happy if your bill gets signed into law as I will if it's my bill. So thank you for your leadership. Thank you for what you are doing. And speaking of Christmas gifts, the most pressing question this time of year, have you finished all of your Christmas shopping?
No, I'm a Christmas Eve action-packed purchaser. So I got to hold back and wait for those deals.
Well, I know you served in the United States Marine Corps, and maybe that's still that adrenaline rush that you enjoy waiting to the last minute. But I'm sure that Sue will be very happy with whatever it is you choose for her. So that's great.
You.
So thank you to our guest today, State Representative Eric Nelson from Westmoreland County. Eric, where can listeners find out more about you and your work?
RepNelson.com is a great way to be able to go. And it's interesting, we do have a Facebook presence and page, but for some reason, it doesn't seem like our videos and our posts really have the volume that they've have had. It raises a couple of question marks about what's happening even on that social media's mobile site as well.
And that might be another issue for another episode of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your strength, Senator. We all really respect and appreciate what you're doing every day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners. And we hope you have a very Merry Christmas. This is State Senator Kristen Phillips-Hill signing off, and we'll talk to you in the new year.